Buxton, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. An upcoming book by journalist Bob Woodward says President Trump's chief of staff privately called Trump an idiot and aides plucked sensitive documents off the president's desk to keep them from him from taking rash actions. The book is the latest tell-all to roil the Trump administration with those kind of allegations. Residents along the Florida Gulf Coast will be hearing some strong winds by tonight as Tropical Storm Gordon is expected to blow ashore, graduating up to a hurricane level one status with winds in excess of 70 miles an hour. Gordon is expected to weaken as it moves over the central U.S. in coming days. Some protests to start the hearings today for Judge Brett Kavanaugh. The Senate Judiciary Committee, lawmakers on both sides, making their opening statements today. The questions to the candidate expected to start coming in tomorrow. Arizona's governor has selected former Republican Senator John Kyle to fill the Senate seat of the late John McCain. This is SRN News.
So far this afternoon, we're still accident-free, but there is a disabled vehicle to look out for on I-95 heading north at the exit at Heckscher Drive. Also, planned construction on I-95, the southbound ramp to I-10, has that off-ramp closed for the next several months near downtown. A chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 74. Wednesday, partly sunny, I-90.
Thank you for listening to WTRJ The Truth and the inspiring and informative programs we feature. We partner with ministries in this community, nationally, and even globally, to bring you the programs you hear. The program content is produced by these ministry partners and does not necessarily reflect the positions or views of other ministry partners, WTRJ The Truth owners, management, or employees in every instance. We trust that you're blessed by the programs you hear. And thanks for listening to WTRJ The Truth.
Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, good day. It's John Beener. Thanks for joining us. Hey, you're listening to Inspiration 316. It's an exciting time. Hey, we got a lot of things going on. Today's theme is business growth for Christ. Yes, God expects us to grow. He expects all of us, even says in the original commandments in the book of Genesis, to be fruitful and multiply, fill and subdue the earth. That means you got to grow, you got to change, you're going to have to meet all kinds of needs, right? Love one another, love God, number one. Number two, love one another. So anyway, if you're looking for the bad news, who shot who murdered who or whatever, we're not going to cover that. We leave that junk for the sensational because 99% of the people in America are not doing those things. So we're reporting to the good folks. You know, we want to encourage people. Some people are down and out. Want to encourage them too. Today is about business growth for Christ. So what we're talking about, we've got little stories here with Frank Harrison, who is the CEO of Coke Consolidated, a big company out of Charlotte. It's not the Bill Pollard was the former CEO of Service Masters, an attorney. Blake McCoskey founded Tom's Shoes, a phenomenal story. Andy Sanfilippo was a local businessman here who built up a company that was incredibly good. And with Airplane Parts, Codoni, with the CEO of that organization, they talk about, he really is in the parts business out of Pennsylvania. And then Don Soderquist, he was the CEO of Walmart for many years after Sam Walton. An incredible guy talking about values and where's the gold standard. So we got a good, interesting lineup here of good content and insight here. I feel like the Lord's called me to write a new book, and it's going to be titled, for lack of a better title yet. Anyway, we're still in the very early stages of this. True wealth in business is an inside job. What does that mean? Well, it means that employees are hurting and the church is not fulfilling the need, but the companies have to step up to the plate and do something about that. They have to treat people in not only a great way and a great culture and reward them in a in a good way, but they need to treat the customer supplier better by having the employees feel better about themselves, to know, preferably know Christ. If they don't know Christ, at least know his values and his principles and live by those things. So Frank Harrison runs a company called Co-Consolidated up in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, they're a franchisee, but they bought, they're in 16 states. So then they have 300 different products. They have 80 distribution centers. The point is they bought up a lot of the Coke franchises, primarily in, I would say, the Midwest and even the Southeast. And but they work again out of Charlotte, and they have close to 30,000 employees, 80 different pastors on board as chaplains. You know, they have Bible studies, do all these good things. But listen to what Frank says. And this is a quick little two-minute thing about what he says about the corporate culture of Frank Harrison welcoming new employees.
Hi, I'm Frank Harrison, Chairman and CEO at Coca-Cola Consolidated, and I just want to welcome you to our company. We've got a powerful culture here at Coke Consolidated that we want to tell you about. It's really a purpose-driven culture based on our purpose. And our purpose for us is why we're here on earth. Why in the world is Coke Consolidated here? And it's really to honor God in all we do, to serve others, to pursue excellence, and to grow profitably. And as you all know, it's a purpose-driven culture. There's nothing more important. It eats up everything else. We get the culture right, you know, we're going to do incredibly well as a business and as a company. You know, honoring God in all we do is clearly about our values. Truth and integrity at Co-Consolidated is everything. Like, if there's no truth, there's no trust, then there's no relationship. Things like humility, so powerful. Put other people first, you know, just be humble. If you want to sell something to somebody, you know, you've got to be humble. You got to serve them. A big one like morality, that's like character. That's like being a person of integrity and just doing what's right. And then the serving piece, you know, to serve others. The most important person, the greatest person, is the servant. And, you know, with our customers, it is about serving and delivery and selling the greatest products in the world and pricing strategies and all that. But we got to go deeper than that. You know, like, what about them and their family? I found out over the years, if you just get to know somebody well and just help them, help their family, just every now and then you got to back off, sell, 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 and just like serve, serve, serve. If we can have 15,000 servant leaders, look, you won't be able to build the Coke plants to handle the volume. And then excellence. I mean, they're doing so many incredible things here. And we at Consolidated, we want to do things really, really well. Be more efficient, more productive, be about excellence. And then finally on the purpose is growth. It's so important. Growth is good. Growth is godly. Growth is right. You know, if you and I aren't growing, you know, as individuals, there's a problem. You know, number one, we got to grow our people. No company grows unless its people grow. We're selling over 300 now, the greatest products in the world. So we want to grow all these areas. We want to grow our relationships, strengthen our relationship with Coca-Cola Company, really dive into all that and understand deeply what it means to serve and grow and excellence. I just encourage you in that area to live that purpose, know it, and that's it. Thank you.
Again, that's a big welcome by Frank Harrison, the CEO of Coke Consolidated. His father, actually, I think was the first franchisee there in Charlotte, but they've grown it immensely as a company. As I said, 300 brands. I corrected me wrong. He said 15,000 employees. I thought it was closer to 30, but they're in, I think it's 16 different states. You know, as I said, 80 chaplains working throughout the company. They teach about biblical principles. That's what we're all about. That's what Wise Counsel is all about. That's a group that I run with entrepreneurs of faith that really come together and learn from one another, pray together, and seek God's purpose and plan in their life to grow. He said, you got to grow. Frank Harrison said that. It's about servant leadership, loving your customers, supplier, vendors, employees, and treating them with ultimate respect. That's what God is seeking in us, through us, in business. You don't have to be committed to Christ to be successful in the business, but you do if you want to get to heaven, or at least that's our understanding of it all, and we just pray that that works out for everybody. But the point of it all is that it's about leadership in this case, leadership, setting the tone at the top as a CEO and an entrepreneur, even starting a business from the very beginning. I mean, God's the one that gives visions and ideas and unctions. I wrote a book called The Untold Secret with Brig Hart that's all about that very thing, that God is working through us. The kingdom of God is found in the parable of the sower. And that's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, repeated practically the same way, the most repeated parable in the whole New Testament. And it's all about getting through the beaten down path, the rocky soil, thorny soil, and good soil. God is implanting visions and ideas and unctions in people's soul, which is their mind, intellect, personality, will, and emotion, or the soil, as the Bible describes it, where the seed falls on the beaten down path. So if you get stinking thinking, you say, oh, it's a great idea, but I can't do that. You know, I don't have the time, the money, or the resources to make that happen. I've said that. How about you? Anybody else thought of something, even an invention or an idea, but said, I don't have the resources to pull that through? Well, God has the resources, and he has the ways for you to make all that happen if that's your calling and part of your purpose. So here is Frank Harrison talking to a group of entrepreneurs, a C12 group in 2015, National Leaders Conference, and he's talking about leading excellence in business as a ministry. Again, he has a son who went to Africa and died there at 23 years old, went kind of as a missionary, and they formed a group to do that. And it's a sad story, but at the same time, he's used it as good. He's turned it into good, and he's multiplied what his son was starting there in Africa. And so he's going to share some of that. You know, growth is good. It's always something that God expects from us. That's why we're born as a seed conceived in our mother's womb, and we grow. We just keep growing, you know, until we we grow out, okay, until we check out of here. But the idea is to keep growing, not to retire, but to grow. So listen to what Frank has to say in talking at this conference, leadership conference, about growth and business.
Growth is good. Growth is right. Growth is godly. We feel like we sell 278, I think it is, last time I counted, of the greatest products in the world. Juices, waters, teas, Coke, sparkling beverages, all kinds. And we just need to and can and should grow our business. And speaking of growth, something y'all know well, I mean, companies don't really grow, people grow. I want to tell you a few things that we've learned and trying to do with our people. We have all kinds of development programs, but just a simple one we just started a few years ago that you might have some interest in. It's a mentoring program. RadicalMentoring.com is the guy that we've sort of been using his stuff. A guy named Reggie Campbell, some of you may know him in Atlanta, wrote the book Mentor Like Jesus. But there is tons of information on his website about every kind of topic you can think of that you would mentor men and women with. I do eight, it's my third year now, I will never stop. I have eight, 25 to 45 year old guys this year that actually four of them are co-consolidated people and four are from the city. We also do a woman's program. But we cover everything in life. You know, what does it mean to be a husband, father, money? So many young people today just that I'm working with, they give a little money at the end of the year. They don't understand tithing. They don't understand offering. And just so much you can teach. So many of these guys, they're not praying really with their family, but they're learning now how to pray with their family, the power of that, and praying with their wife. And one of our key leaders just the other day told me he's in the class this year up there running our Louisville, Lexington area. And he said, you know, Frank, every time I travel now, I'm Skyping with my wife and I'm praying with her. You know, I Skype when I'm out of town. And I looked at him, I didn't say this, but I said, you got to be kidding. I mean, I didn't mean to go that serious. I mean, I've never done that in my life. But I didn't say that. But guys are learning to pray and lead worship time with their family. It's just incredible. And speaking of this new area, and we're going in some cool markets there from Baltimore, Maryland. I used to see all that on the TV, all the stuff going on there recently. And I'm thinking, wow, if we were in that Coke market, we're going to get to know those pastors. We're going to move into that area. But to think that we can start moving leaders into these areas that knows what it means to, you know, be a husband and be a father and be a true leader and a servant leader and knows how to give and all that stuff. It's exciting. But RadicalMentoring.com, what held me back, I think, over the years, that takes so much time preparing all that stuff. Oh, golly, all the study I'd have to do. Well, first of all, if you've been in the Word a little bit over the years, you've got a lot of more stuff in your head than you realize. But on this website, every topic you want to think of, every topic you can make up is there with tons of material. And he actually walks you through from the opening of a class to the ending of it. So you have no more excuse about the material not being there. And then once you start doing it, it'll do incredible things for your people and then for you. And by the way, I just left Africa a week and a half ago. And we visited Ethiopia a little bit with some of our mobile messengers over there. But I don't know if y'all have heard about this church out of Addis Ababa, Cali Hewitt Church, 8 million members. Their whole secret, they've grown all this over 20 years, 8 million members, is discipleship. And that's really mentorship. They'll take 20 at a time, disciple them, and then they go out and, you know, it's the multiplication thing. But their whole reason, and they say we do it just wrong over here, like when they plant a new church, it's not a part of the big church. Like we'll have a satellite church and we pump the thing in there, the main pastor. Well, the main pastor over there goes to the new church, and that new church has its own budget. It's not part of the big church, and it's whatever. They've got this incredible church. So I know we're getting close on time, but I think over a couple other things, just over the past 20, 25 years, we've learned a couple of things. We've got so much more to learn. But one thing we started to, I'm just sharing ideas. About 3 or 4 years ago, something we call the T Factor. I'm not sure I like that. I like the name, but I'm not sure if there's something better. But it stands for Transforming Your Company for Christ. And we started bringing in 35, 40 CEOs at a time and just sharing with them how we do business. First 3 hours are spent with attorneys, just breaking down all the thoughts that are out there that you can't do this and you can't do that. And I am no lawyer, but I'm telling you, once our attorneys go through everything, with these CEOs, I don't know how to describe it other than like you'd almost have to take a Bible and beat somebody over the head with it before you're going to have a problem, you know. And they'll tell you exactly how to do chaplaincy the right way, how to do this, how to do that. But there's so much opportunity there from just not worrying about legal issues. And I think that's one of the first things that a lot of these CEOs are so concerned about. But we take them through how to start a chaplaincy program, how to do stewardship, what about giving, just all the key topics, some of which we've talked about tonight. And it's been kind of cool to see a lot of these CEOs go back and start things at their workplace. 2 months ago, we had our last one. We had probably, 35, 40 companies from maybe a $20 million company in Chattanooga to a $6 billion company there in Charlotte. One of the cool people there was the Budweiser franchisee from the Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill area, Harris Wholesale. And he's probably a 40-year-old guy, had his HR person with him. And I happened to sit with him the first day at the table, the little lunch, and I could tell she was not happy. She was not happy there. And actually, I could tell she was just, I just started kidding with her. I just said, you sure you're going to be able to handle this the next 2 days and so forth? And then all I know is after the 2 days ended, we were at that closing lunch, and this lady came up to me. Now, I am not making this up. I told a lie. I've already confessed that one, but this was not a lie. She had tears coming down her face, seriously. And she said, Frank, I had no idea what we were going to hear over these 2 days. This is awesome. We're going to start putting this stuff in place. And I understand they already have a chaplain there at the Budweiser franchise over there in Raleigh-Durham, which is awesome.
Again, that's Frank Harrison, CEO of Coke Consolidated out of Charlotte. Again, they're in 16 different states, 15,000 employees. But the whole idea is to teach people about Christ. The T factor is transformation, transforming your life into what Christ wants it to be, incredible story. Again, he's done a lot of work there in Africa, too, since his son died. It's kind of a missionary there. He's only 23 years old, but that's a tragic loss. But it hasn't broke his heart for Christ. It hasn't broke his passion to serve other people. Here's another great leader. This is Bill Pollard. He's the former CEO of Service Masters, which was the largest janitorial franchise business in America, all over the country. This guy was a lawyer. Became the CEO, worked his way up to the top job. And then when he retired a little bit, he's been out speaking. He wrote a book called The Soul of the Firm, and then another one, Serving Two Masters. That's another book. And then Reflection on God and Prophets. And then the newest one is The Tides of Life. So this is guy is very knowledgeable, but listen to some of his experience as, again, leadership through servitude. Bill Pollard.
Now, as I have retired from my leadership responsibilities at ServiceMaster, I can look back to and add up the numbers that show growth in profits and customers served and a return that averaged on 20% a year on average. And while these figures are part of a normal business assessment, for me, I don't think my performance should be limited to that measurement. The real and lasting measurement is whether there has been, as a result of my leadership, the changed and improved lives of the people I led. As a business leader, I wanted to excel at generating profits and creating value for our shareholders. If I didn't want to play by these rules, I didn't belong in the ball game. But I also tried to encourage an environment and a workplace that was open to the consideration of issues such as the question of God, and that was ready and willing to consider the importance of the community of our business to be a spiritual community for the development of moral character that allowed someone to relate the claims of their faith with the demands of their work. I considered the people of our firm as, in fact, the soul of the firm. Our corporate objectives were to honor God in all we do, to help people develop, to pursue excellence, and to grow profitably. Those first two objectives were end goals. The second two were means goals. We did not use that first objective as a basis of exclusion. In fact, it was the reason why we promoted diversity, as we recognized that different people with different beliefs were all part of God's mix. It did not mean that everything was done right. We experienced our share of mistakes. We sometimes failed and did things wrong. But because of a stated standard, we typically could not hide our mistakes. They were flushed out in the open for correction and, yes, for forgiveness. And typically, the leaders in our business could not protect themselves at the expense of the people they were leading. The process of seeking understanding and application of these objectives at all levels of our organization as we grew rapidly over the years was a never-ending task. It involved matters of the heart as well as the head, and I can tell you it was not susceptible to standard management techniques of implementation or measurement. While at times it was discouraging, it was also energizing as one realize the continued potential for creativity and innovation as there was focus on the development of the whole person. One of the best ways I found to share and lead in the development of our firm as a moral community was to seek to serve as I led, to reflect the principle that Jesus taught his disciples as he washed their feet, that namely, no leader was greater or had a self-interest more important than the people being led. In seeking to so serve, the truth of what I said could be measured by what I did. My ethic would become a reality as I acted out my faith. Servant leadership has been a learning experience for me. It hasn't come naturally, and I'm still learning. The first thing I had to understand is what it meant to walk in the shoes of the people I would lead. This was a lesson when I first joined ServiceMaster, now over 30 years ago. Before then, I had practiced law for 10 years and spent 5 years in the administration as a faculty member at Wheaton College. As I concluded my time at Wheaton and was preparing to go back to the practice of law, I was recruited by Ken Hansen, who was then the chairman of the company, and Ken Westner, who was then the president of the company, to consider joining the firm. They wanted me to initially come and head up the legal affairs of the firm and the financial areas of the firm. And during the recruiting process, the two Kens were great salespeople, and they were painting a wonderful picture of what this firm could be. It was a small public company at the time, and in the process of that recruiting process, they kept inferring that maybe someday I might be able to lead this company. So I decided on that kind of final day when I was signing up for the benefits and so forth that I would really press, especially Ken Hansen. You know, what did I have to do to become CEO of this company? After all, I had an opportunity to go back to the practice of law now, and I knew what the law was all about, and if I was going to join this company, I needed to know a little bit more about how long it would take me, what was my competition like, and so forth, and what did I need to do. So that morning, I began pressing Ken about what was needed. And after listening to me for about 5 minutes, and this would be the final day, they had all the papers there for me to sign, Ken stood up and looked me in the eye and he said, "Bill, the interview is over." And Ken Westner said, "Well, Bill, I guess the interview is over," and he led me to the front door. And as I walked out that day, I said, "Well, you know, I guess I blew it today, and God doesn't want me to work here. I guess I'm going back to the practice of law." Ken called me 2 days later, Ken Hansen did, and he said, "Bill, do you want to know what happened in my office the other day?" And I said, "Sure, Ken." He said, would you have breakfast with me?" And I said, "Yep." The next morning we had breakfast, and Ken started out by saying, "You know, Bill, if you want to come to ServiceMaster and contribute, you'll have a great career. But if you're coming for a title or position, forget it." And then he launched into what it meant for him and what it would mean for me to be a servant leader in ServiceMaster. And you know, as I made my decision to join ServiceMaster that day, and later Ken would test me on that commitment, there were some lessons for me to learn. The first was never give a title or position to someone who can't live without it. And then when I joined the company, Ken said, "Now you understand theoretically maybe about what servant leadership is all about, but you're going to spend the first 2 months of your time with ServiceMaster during the day going out and doing our service work. And in the evening," here, that's okay, Andy, put it right here. "In the evening, you can do your work as a corporate officer." I had many great experiences during that time, but one of the things I realized was my dependence upon and responsibility to the people I would lead. I didn't realize then that this would ultimately involve over 250,000 people as we grew to serve over 12 million customers. But this experience often reminded me of my own imperfections, the need to admit my mistakes, and ask for forgiveness and seek guidance from above.
Is that a neat story or not? I love that idea, because that here he was, has become CEO. He had first had to learn how to be a servant. You know, he had a big title already, attorney, knowing how to be an attorney, sharp, you know, articulate, all that kind of stuff, smart, a lot of education. Well, what happened is he had to get the put on online. He had to go out with the trucks and do the servicing that they did as janitorial supplies, and even selling franchisees, all those kind of things. This is what it should be anyway in a company. And the CEO should be willing to get his hands dirty with everybody else that works with him and for him. And so he teaches him responsibility, humility, you know, and teaches him how to get along with the other people that are working for him. All right, those are guys, Penix, who's singing "Mary, Did You Know?" That means we've got to take a break. We'll be back here in a few moments. Hang in there with us. John Beener with Inspiration 316. Thanks for coming with us.
Daughters, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
Look out for an accident on I-10 heading east at the Cecil Commerce exit. Also a crash on the east beltway 295 southbound at the exit at Merrill Road. Also emergency vehicles on Phillips Highway northbound at Bay Center Road. That's blocking the left lane. And another accident on the west beltway 295 northbound at the exit at Pritchard Road. A chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 74. Wednesday, partly sunny, high 90.
Thank you for listening to WTRJ The Truth and the inspiring and informative programs we feature. We partner with ministries in this community, nationally, and even globally, to bring you the programs you hear. The program content is produced by these ministry partners and does not necessarily reflect the positions or views of other ministry partners, WTRJ The Truth owners, management, or employees in every instance. We trust that you're blessed by the programs you hear, and thanks for listening to WTRJ The Truth.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
This child that you delivered will soon...
I like that song, Mary, Did You Know, Pantanax. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not. I've seen them on TV. They're good. They're a great group. Hey, we're sponsored today, Inspiration 316. This is John Beaner, sponsored by Wise Counsel. We got the boot camp coming up this Thursday. If you haven't registered, you're getting close to being late, you know, because it's only $35 for guests, but you can go to, again, at inspiration316.com or John at inspiration316 or even Wise Counsel, askwisecounsel.com, and register. That form for registering pops right up on the screen for you, so it's easy enough to do. So love to have you join us here. We've got Village Bread help sponsoring that, the boot camp as well. We got incredible speakers with Judith McNutt, you know, Phil Driscoll playing the trumpet. Wow. And we've got Jeff Rutt from Pennsylvania and Worldwide Christ-Centered Ministry, as well as Rivers Pierce talking about internet marketing and how that's done effectively. Great experience, wisdom of God. And Leah Huey's one of our sponsors, too, with their whole mission, Flourish Now, job fairs. They got the next one coming up in October. I think it's October 22nd. Email me if you need that, John at Ask at Inspiration316. Anyway, let's get back to our show here today, Business Growth for Christ. That's what it's all about. We're serving the Lord in the deepest way that we can. I work with Christian entrepreneurs and Wise Counsel. I've been doing it almost 20 years now, actually 19 years this year, and then was doing it 13 years before that. So God has been showing me, revealing to me the depth of what he wants done in business. Business can be more effective than church sometimes because employees can love one another by the way they treat one another. Somebody comes to work and they're disappointed or frustrated and somebody notices and said, are you okay? And said, no, not really. And then they said, lunch, they tell them what happened. You know, there might be a divorce or might be an issue with a child or school or whatever it might be, and the other person can encourage them. That's called ministering, folks. That's what it is, encouraging other people, lifting them up, willing to pray for them, willing to say, hey, have you thought of this course, or have you thought about that, or this counselor, or this coach, or pastor, or even chaplain in our business, talk to them. You know, seek prayer, seek wise counsel, wisdom. Okay. So what we're talking here, we got some examples. Blake McCloskey, this guy's a phenomenon. He founded a company called Tom's Shoes, sold on the internet. What he ended up doing is learning that if he made a pair of shoes, it probably in Argentina or somewhere away, and then he could sell them at a price twice as high in the United States, still be a good deal. And then so what he could do is give a pair away in Argentina for someone in America that bought the same pair. And that's what he does. It's a really a God thing. Listen to him talk about it. Giving is a good business strategy.
It feels really good. It's an amazing feeling to give. But the interesting thing is what I've learned over the last, 4 years with Tom's is that giving not only feels good, but it's also a good business strategy. And that's okay. It's a good life strategy. And I've learned this in so many different ways through my journey at Tom's, but as we were talking earlier, one of my favorite ways that I learned this was actually the first time I saw someone wearing a pair of Tom's. I think it was maybe, I don't know, like 4 months into this whole journey, and I was in the New York City airport, And it was so funny because I was literally running to catch my flight. Like, I was late, I was coming from the gym, and I wasn't wearing Toms. And normally, I'm always wearing Toms. So I get to the American Airlines check-in counter, and I'm doing the electronic check-in, and all of a sudden, I look over, and there's this girl, and she's wearing a red pair of Toms. Now, I've never seen anyone wearing Toms. So, I'm excited to my parents and my interns and my friends, you know, but I never seen a stranger. So I couldn't help myself. I turned to this girl and I say, excuse me, I really like those red shoes that you're wearing. You know, what are they? And she kind of looks up at me and she says, Toms, Tom shoes. Now, I'm trying to play it cool, so I'm still doing the check-in, right? I'm not kidding, Darren. She grabs my shoulder. She physically pulls me away from the machine and says, no, you don't understand. This is the most amazing company in the world. She goes, when I bought this pair of shoes, they gave a pair to a child in Argentina. And there's this guy. He lives in Los Angeles on a sailboat. And I mean, literally, she's telling me my life story, word for word, with like more passion than my mom tells me. So then the funniest part happens is I, of course, I'm feeling embarrassed and I have to tell her who I am at this point. And I say, excuse me. I said, actually, you know, I'm Blake. I started Toms. And she looks at me like deer in the headlights. And she goes, why did you cut your hair? That was all she said. But the point of the story, what was so interesting was that clearly she had watched the videos of us giving shoes on YouTube. And she was that invested in it. She didn't just buy a pair of shoes, she was that invested. And I remember giving her a hug and saying thank you, and I went to my plane and she went to hers. But I remember being on the plane and thinking, you know, that was one girl who thought she was speaking to a stranger at the airport. And if she had that much passion to tell the Tom story to a stranger, how many other people had she told? Surely her parents and her friends and her family, and I'm sure she had put something on Facebook and tweeted about it, right? But how many pairs have been sold and how many kids have gotten shoes because of this one girl? And so that day on the plane, I remember so clearly, I said, you know, to myself, and I wrote in my journal, you know, all we have to do at Tom's is focus on giving. Because if we focus on giving and giving in a sustainable and authentic way, our customers are going to do the marketing for us. And I think that's why we've given over 600,000 pairs of shoes away.
Yeah. So. Really.
That is such a great story, isn't it? The guy went down to Argentina on some kind of a mission trip, and he discovered that kids were going to school only when they had shoes. You had to have shoes to go to school, but they didn't have shoes most of the time. So one kid in the family was going to shoe to school one day, and the next kid had to wait till he came back, and he would then wear the shoes the next day, and the other kid waited at home. So he discovered that and realized that, you know, there's more need for shoes out there than anybody ever realized. Andy Sanfilippo is a gentleman I worked for, was CEO of a company called Team JAS, and they actually bought parts and configured them, re-improved them. That's how about the way word I you should use, okay? And to sell them to people, twin otter airplanes who fly around the country kind of in underdeveloped countries, and they can land in practically on a dime, don't need a big runway, so they're special planes. But he managed that business for, I think, 30 years. Incredible growth and strategy. But during the midst of all this, he had some crises going on. So here's a story about how he and his wife, Judy, decided to concentrate the business to the Lord and share that with his employees. Listen in.
I'd gotten to the point where I was totally burnt out.
Okay.
My business was 10 years old. I was frustrated. I came home and complained every day, which is another good biblical principle. Complained and grumbled to my wife about how bad things were. The business was doing well, don't get me wrong, but it was dealing with the more than anything else, it was dealing with the employees that really was a real struggle for me. Uh-huh. And even though we were running our business from a Christian perspective, John, we never made that public announcement to our people that this is a Christian business.
Okay.
They knew I was a Christian, but they didn't realize that the reason for us being in business was to bring glory and honor to God.
Okay. All
right. And so 12 years ago, that's through much prayer, Judy and I praying together, really felt that the Lord was calling us to the next step in our business career, and really at that point was when we consecrated the business to the Lord.
Okay.
And the interesting definition of consecration in Webster's uh-huh. dictionary is to set apart for a holy purpose unto the Lord, mm-hmm. and that was a major time in our business career where we really setting us apart.
Okay.
And the Lord was really doing something like that.
Okay. So you're really burnt out at this point in time.
Really burnt out.
And you
out.
Really said, "This, I'm fed up." You're fed up with a lot of things, evidently.
It
felt like the business is tugging you in a lot of different directions, right? And personally, probably, too, and trying to serve the Lord and understand that, but the employees didn't get it because you weren't sharing it.
Right.
And so something happened then that was very significant. I mean, what did you decide to do then to get over that burnout and to get things straight then, or get it right, consecrate it the way you want?
Yeah, we actually, in fear and trembling.
Okay, all right.
Judy and I showed up at the office one day and called everybody together in the business. At that point, I believe we were probably around 18 people, and we told them. We said, we just want to tell you that this business belongs to Jesus Christ. So we made that public profession in front of everyone in the building. And we told them that things had to change.
Okay.
At that point, we were allowing people to listen to whatever they wanted to listen to on their desk. So people had their own radios and people had pictures. Women had pictures of Hollywood hunks. Okay. Women that were married had pictures of Hollywood hunks on their desk, and we didn't allow any pictures with nudity, but I mean, there's really very little difference.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, to see a half-dressed man or a woman that's not properly dressed,
okay.
That is not your wife on your desktop.
Yeah.
So we told everybody that things had to change. We piped in 24/7 praise and worship music into the entire building. We told people that if they were uncomfortable with us taking our Christian stand, that they were we wanted to bless them and give them a month's severance pay, and they were welcome to leave, and that we needed to know who was with us and who wasn't.
Yeah.
And so that was a major milestone for us in our business, and really from that point forward, everybody knows the operating values of our company.
Okay.
They have not changed.
Now, did anybody leave, or what happened there?
Yeah, we actually had one of our really key people leave.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord had told Judy through prayer that not to worry about a thing, because the Lord is the one who has brought us success, mm-hmm. and He would continue to bring success whether those people were there or not.
Mm-hmm.
So success comes from His hand. So we... that's why I say in fear and trembling, because we know that when we made that stand, there were going to be people that just weren't on the same page.
They didn't want to hear that message.
Right.
They wanted to turn that channel off, right?
We had several people that we thought might leave. But we didn't miss a beat.
Mm-hmm.
But you said
there was one key person that did leave. You know?
Yeah, we did have one key person that left. And
that hurt, I guess, evidently.
Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm.
She was with me almost since day one.
Okay.
And so she decided to leave, and I believe it was 2 years later, I saw her in a parking lot and just started talking, how are things going, and she's now working for me again. She's been employed with the company for 20 years of our 22 years.
Really?
Yes.
So she's back with you then?
Yes.
The big contributors, I guess.
Yes, too. Major.
Yeah. That's great. How about that? God's got a plan. Things
Amen.
Come around, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
Great story. Andy Sanfilippo. He sold the business a few years ago, but it's still operating, owned by a bigger company right now. But a great niche, great good concept, had a lot of good people working for him, and did a good job of serving well. I believe they live in North Carolina at this point in time. Here's a gentleman that's in the auto parts business, distribution. Cardone is the name of the company. We got the CEO who's going to share about leading by serving in business. Again, that's what we're talking about right here. As a Christian entrepreneur, the idea is to walk your talk, serve the way God would want you to have it, and to treat people with a higher level of respect than the typical business might, because it's honoring to God. It's also a time to even share Christ with you, like Coca-Cola Consolidated does. They teach people about Christ. They have prayer group meetings. They have chaplains. They have all mentoring programs going on in their business, because it's about growing people more than about growing the business. If you grow the people will do a better job and the business will grow that way. Listen to this interview with Cardone talking about the serving the Lord.
Cardone Industries is a remanufacturer of automotive parts. We take parts from older vehicles, we take them apart, we clean them, reassemble them, test them, sell them at 30 to 50% less than a new part, and give them a lifetime warranty. This enables people to keep their cars longer. It helps them reduce the cost of the repairs of their vehicle, and it makes these component parts available to them through the independent aftermarket, through stores like AutoZone and NAPA. The company has grown to where we employ over 5,000 people. We are the largest manufacturer in Pennsylvania. We're also the largest privately held remanufacturer in the world. We didn't start out with that objective. We didn't start out with a five-year plan to do that. It's just been through hard work, the Lord's blessing, and being the best at what we do. We believe there's a bottom line business-wise, profit-wise. There's a bottom line socially, how you impact your community, how you impact the people around you, how you impact your vendors, how you impact your customers. I also believe, though, there's a spiritual bottom line.
We want to see people be successful in life, successful in work, and really have a balanced perspective on how they go about their life on a day-in and day-out basis. So we happen to believe that faith in Jesus Christ is the best way to get there. And we're not shy about talking about it, and we're not shy about bringing that to the workplace.
I believe to be a successful business, you have to always put the customer first. Well, we take it on into our business, and that means my employees are my customer. That's who I have to serve. And when I serve them well, I know they're going to serve my customers well.
When people are leading as servants, the people underneath them want to work for them. They're motivated, and they want to produce the financial results that we need to have in order to stay in business.
I believe that doing the right thing doesn't mean you have to compromise your results. I believe that will enhance your results. As an example, the whole country is dealing with the cost of health care. We found that our factory family members and their families were not getting timely health care and their quality of health care that they deserve. We developed a partnership with a local hospital to start our own clinic. It took a lot of effort on our part, and it took an investment on our part. But through that clinic, we've been able to manage our health care costs below the national average.
We were able to create the same level of service for a much lower cost to the employee, to the company. It's been a real win-win situation, and has allowed even more people to be on the healthcare program than were before, whether it be through helping people here internally, whether it be through servicing customers the better than anybody else. Those are the things that I think gives us the platform to talk about Jesus Christ, to talk about God, and to show them we can honor God in everything we do, and we can still have a very successful, very profitable business in the automotive aftermarket.
Giving your life to God, giving your business to God, means that you're willing to accept what God has for you. It's not necessarily the size of your business. It's not necessarily the growth of your business. It's not how many competitors you put out of business.
It's doing what God's called us to do. I believe if you do that, your business will be a success.
Our family feels called to provide jobs for people, and we see it as a ministry.
I'm not called to be a minister. I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a businessman. I see no difference. Work is worship.
That is really good, isn't it? Work is worship. That's right. That's really, we go back to Genesis, the original intent of that word is worship. God has a purpose in us working. He's got a purpose of being in business, to be have jobs, even being in ministry, obviously, to help people, to serve one another. It's the purpose of a business is not to make a profit. That has to be part of its end result. But if it doesn't treat the people, employees right, or the customers right, the customers aren't going to stay if you're not treated right, if they're not served well. Okay, so you serve the employee well, he'll serve the customer well. This is part of what the whole plan and chemistry of it all is. God has a purpose for all this design. We weren't created here by mistake. Okay, there's Don Soderquist. This guy was the CEO under Sam Walton for years, and he's talking about here, this is a talk that he gave a few years ago in Seattle about where is the gold standard. Is it really about Walmart? And on the, it's not so much about Walmart, but that's his experience, but more about what the values of Christ is really the gold standard is what he's saying in essence here. Listen to his talk, Don Soderquist.
Ethics is doing what is right. And I was invited to speak to a group of media people from all across Arkansas. And they asked me if I would please talk about the topic, ethics and the media. And I said I didn't know if I'd be able to because that was an oxymoron. And so I didn't endear themselves to me when I said that. But, to be honest with you, this gray cloud came over me. And I thought, you know, I will beat the tar out of them because I have all of this pent-up emotion over all the times I've been misquoted and all the trash they put it, you know, in the media about Walmart that's untrue. But then the Lord took a hold of the dark cloud and moved it away. And I thought, maybe I can help them. So at any rate, I put this slide up, ethics is doing what is right, and immediately a lady in the front row raised her hand and said, right according to who? And I said, ma'am, that's our problem. We never used to have to ask, right according to who? I said, you know, when my mom and dad raised me, they taught me what was right and what was wrong. And there was no question in my mind, if I did wrong, there were consequences for doing wrong. And I paid the consequences. But the interesting thing is my teachers in school reinforced those same issues of right and wrong. And our neighbors and our relatives and the mayor of the town and our preacher and our youth leader and our Sunday school teacher all reinforced the same issues of right and wrong. And so I said, ma'am, there are absolutes in this world. She raised her hand again. She said, what are absolutes? I said, it's wrong to lie, cheat, and steal, to name just a few. And she said, as she looked at the ceiling, maybe. I said, no, that's not maybe. And I said, we live in a world that causes people like you to ask a question like that, right according to who? And that's the sad thing, because there is no gold standard anymore in our society about the issues of right and wrong. John Gardner, a former Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, died about 3 years ago. He started Common Cause, and he was a wonderful leader. He died as he was finishing his teaching at Stanford University as a professor in the business school. And he had something that jumped out of me, not out of one of his books that he wrote about leadership in the 50s and 60s before leadership books were a dime a dozen. And what he said was, a great civilization is a drama lived in the minds of a people. I like that. It jumped out at me. It's a moving picture of what's in the minds of the people. It doesn't say in the minds of the leaders. So then the minds of the people. What does the drama look like in America? This land that you and I love. He goes on to say, it is shared vision, shared values, shared expectations, and shared purposes. It's pretty obvious that the key word is shared. And the thing that bothers me about the land that we live in now is that there is not that sharing, because people have to ask, right according to who? And I worry a little bit when I listen to television, and I get tired of it, frankly, to hear all the trash that's going on. And it is unbelievable to me. Any of you watch Fox? I kind of got... None of you watch Fox? Maybe they don't allow it to come out to the Northwest. I don't know. You know, these liberals are after us all over the place. I'm just kidding. There may be, you know, two or three liberals here in the group. I don't know. But some of the things that professors are teaching in colleges and universities blow my mind. Some of the sentences that judges give to people who molest and rape little children blow my mind. What has happened to our system of justice in the United States, where we can allow those things to take place and to happen? And so, again, Gardner pictures this great civilization in my mind of the sharing of the sharing of ideas and the sharing of values and vision and everything. And I like that word, shared. We are fortunate here in this room. We do share a lot of things in common. I always like to be with people who share the beliefs that I have and share my faith. Now, we may come from different backgrounds, and we may go to different churches and all the rest of it, but we still have one Lord and King.
Amen. One Lord and King. That's right. That was Don Soderquist, the former CEO of Walmart, talking about the gold standard, back to the values of the Bible, back to the principles of God. Again, this is John Beaner. We're talking about business growth for Christ. That's where God's purpose is. He's drawing us to his purpose, his plan to grow people from a biblical basis in a business and then serve the customer in the same style ways. God bless you. Thanks. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 Show with John Beaner. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.
Thank you for joining us for Inspiration 316 and John Beaner. Coming up next, it's First Baptist Church of downtown Jacksonville, here on listener-supported WTRJ, The Truth. Thank you for listening to WTRJ, The Truth, and the inspiring and informative programs we feature. We partner with ministries in this community, nationally, and even globally, to bring you the programs you hear. The program content is produced by these ministry partners and does not necessarily reflect the positions or views of other ministry partners, WTRJ The Truth owners, management, or employees in every instance. We trust that you're blessed by the programs you hear, and thanks for listening to WTRJ The Truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Bracing for Tropical Storm Gordon, expected to strengthen to hurricane status by the time it hits the U.S. Gulf Coast as a hurricane later tonight, then move on into the lower Mississippi Valley on Wednesday. The National Hurricane Center says people shouldn't pay too much attention as to whether Gordon is technically a tropical storm or a hurricane. Could be deadly either way, likely causing flooding and a major storm surge. It could be, in the center's words, life-threatening along parts of the central Gulf Coast. The governor of Arizona has selected former Republican Senator John Kyle to fill the Senate seat of the late John McCain through January of 2019. Kyle says he is committed to serving through the end of this year and will not seek office in 2020. And Kyle served in the U.S. Senate for 18 years until he retired in 2013. Some fireworks today at the beginning of confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh in the U.S. Senate. This is SRN News.
Major delays because of a crash north of downtown on I-95 heading northbound at the exit.